Good morning, and thank you for coming today to hear this talk. I'm always grateful to be able to give these talks. The talk this morning is titled Enlightenment Criteria, The Story of Wei Neng. Most people come to Zen seeking to find meaning to one's life. We desire enlightenment, yet what does it take to achieve enlightenment, Buddhahood, or to understand the great matter? Does a person need to practice Zen for many years before he or she becomes awakened? Does a person need certain physical, mental characteristics, like being an expert yoga practitioner, being of a certain sex, or having a clever mind to unravel koans? Let us begin our investigation by taking up the story of the sixth Chinese patriarch, Wei Neng. Wei Neng stands out in importance within the Zen tradition as his teaching is considered equal to the narratives of the Buddha himself. Who was Wei Neng? What was his background that enabled him to achieve such prominence? Surprisingly, the traditional story of Wei Neng says he was both illiterate and from humble beginnings. His father, an exiled court official, died when he was young. Wei Neng then looked after his aging mother, earning a living by collecting firewood and selling it in the marketplace. One day, on his way from making a delivery of wood, he overheard a monk reciting a passage from the Diamond Sutra. Wei Neng instantly experienced the intimacy of the verse and had a profound awakening to the truth. Notice, here is a person with neither education, social background, or formal Zen training, who, having heard a verse from the Diamond Sutra, has an awakening experience. This experience was not factual understanding of what was being said, but an intimate connection. Without any education, Wei Neng understood from his heart, or more precisely, connected with his heart to the intimacy that is this universe. Having inquired as to the name of the sutra, he then asked where the monk came from. The monk replied that he was from the monastery of the fifth patriarch, who was called Wang Jun, who was based in the north of China. Wei Neng made up his mind to go visit the monastery and pay his respects to the patriarch. The story says to pay his respects. He was not going to proclaim his understanding, but to show respect and gratitude. Having arrived, he gained an audience with Wang Jun, who inquired where he had come from. Wei Neng replied that he had come from the south, was a simple commoner, and wished for nothing more than to realize the Buddha nature. Jun Jen retorted, "You are from the barbarian south. How can you become a Buddha?" Instead of taking offense or getting angry at this insult, Wei Neng replied, "A man may be from the north or from the south, but Buddha nature has no north or south." A beautiful answer that shows his understanding. For Buddha nature and enlightenment does not belong to anyone. It does not reside within one religious group or sect. It is independent of social, economic class, race, or degree of formal education. The challenge thrown out by Jun Yan was a test, Wei Neng understanding. I think another appropriate response he could have given was, "A barbarian indeed." Recall how the Buddha, on his awakening, declared, "How wonderful, how miraculous. All beings are completely and fully endowed with the Buddha nature. All beings. It doesn't matter who you are, your age, or how long you have always been practicing. The universe is not cruel. Enlightenment is always present, continuously calling, just waiting for us to quiet our minds and open our heart to it. After the exchange, Wun Jin admitted Wang Nang into the monastery and put him to work in the rice hauling shed. No complaints from Wang Nang. He doesn't care about the work or his position within the monastery. Meanwhile, Master Junyan was looking for a successor. He announced all the monks should compose a verse expressing their insight and submit it to him. All the monks assumed the head monk was the obvious choice to succeed Junyan. After all, the head monk had been practicing Zen for many years, probably attended countless sessions and daily sittings. However, the head monk, feeling a little uncertain, rather than openly presenting his verse, wrote it on his wall, or on a wall. The verse read, "The body is like the Bodhi tree. The heart is a bright mirror on a stand. Every day, wipe clear the mirror so that no dust may alight." Upon reading the verse, Junyan realized the head monk had not yet penetrated through into the realization of Buddha nature. Eventually, Wang Ning heard the poem and in response composed his own verse that read, "There is no Bodhi tree. The heart has no stand. When there is nothing whatsoever, what dust can a light wear?" The difference between the two verses is fascinating and worthy of another talk. For our story, we know Junyan saw the verse. He knew who composed it, and that person clearly understood. He called Wang Nang to his room and questioned him further to test and deepen Wang Nang's insight before transmitting the Buddha's robe and bowl and conferring upon him the status of sixth patriarch. The Buddha's robe and begging bowl were the outward signs of the transmission of true Dharma from heir to heir, going back to Mahakashapa, who was given it by Buddha Shakyamuni himself. Note, these symbols are being passed on to an illiterate layman, someone who at the time knew next to nothing about Buddhism. Junyan then instructs Wang Nang to immediately go south, as he feared for his safety if he stayed. We may wonder about this instruction. Surely, no one would dare raise a hand to him. However, greed, hatred, and ignorance are present everywhere, even in a Buddhist monastery. The following day, when Junyan failed to give the usual midday sermon, the monks realized that something had happened. Finally, Junyan told them that the canon of teaching had gone. The monks were highly agitated and set out to pursue the one person who was missing. Among them was a general who had given up his sword to become a monk. He was so incensed at the idea that this young illiterate should be the sixth patriarch that he pursued him with the intention of grabbing the robe and bowl and restoring them to the monastery and to the head monk. After a long search, the former general named Mayu caught up with Wang Nang in the mountains. Seeing him coming, Wang Nang laid down the Buddha's robe and bowl on a rock and hid. When Mayu approached, Wang Nang called out, saying, "If you have come for the robe and bowl, here it is. Lift it up for yourself." Mayu seized hold of the robe and bowl, but could not lift them. Why? They are just a robe and old bowl, after all. However, no matter how strong a person is physically, how much education or training they may have, if the heart is not open, no power in the universe can steal or take the Dharma. The Dharma is something given, not something taken. You can do all the zazen you want for as long as you want, but if you are doing it to gain enlightenment, to satisfy some egotistical desire, for some sort of bragging rights, or to show how good you are, if you are doing it to reach some goal so that you may move on with your life, the robe and bowl will never be yours. The general chasing Wang Nang obviously thought he was more deserving of the Dharma than some illiterate newcomer. After all, had not he been practicing Zazen for years? Had he not been one of the tougher students, enduring more pain than the others? Had he not studied more historical Zen stories, passed more koans, been to more shishins than practically all the others? Mayo's ego was strong. However, your ego will never be able to enlighten itself, and as hard as he tried, Mayu could not lift the bowl and robe. Realizing something beyond himself, maybe for the first time ever, Mayu's heart began to open. He called out to Wang Nang, "I have come for the Dharma. Please say a turning phrase." Wang Nang, sensing the change in Mayu, asked him where he was when he was doggedly chasing after him. The Dharma assets are freely given. In that moment, that one question was all it took. Yes, prior Zazen helped getting Mayu to that point, but something magical happened at that junction. There was no planning, no expectations, no anything, just where were you? Where are you now? Don't think past or present. Don't think like or dislike. Go beyond thinking. Open yourself. Do not think Zazen starts and ends in the Zendo, for that is a grave mistake. Thinking you are not worthy of enlightenment is an even worse mistake. Everyone is worthy. You need to drop the ego and trust the process. Follow the precepts. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not misuse sex. Do not divulge in anger, etc., etc. These are all guidelines to help you achieve enlightenment. All non-human life on this planet is sacrificed so that you may be open to the gift of enlightenment. Do not ignore this gift or the opportunity presented to you. I will end with another brief story. There was once an old master who wished to pass on his teaching to his students. One day, knowing he would not be long in this world, the master assembled his students and told them it was time for him to pass on his teaching to them that very evening. However, they would have to be worthy of the teaching and be open and accepting to it. The students immediately began to question the teacher about what he meant by having to be worthy and accepting, and what that entailed. The master replied that they would have to give 100% and trust the process. They would have to open their hearts and do Zazen as best they could for the entire time. The students, becoming a little anxious, further questioned the master as to what he meant by the entire time. He tried to answer their questions while continuing to encourage them. Finally, growing somewhat frustrated by their persistent questions and the doubt they showed after all these years of sitting together, he told them they would be doing Zazen from 9 p.m. that night to 3 or 4 in the morning. Doing Zazen for almost 6 continuous hours seemed like a lot of effort, and the students began asking the master more questions. For example, would there be bathroom and water breaks? And if so, how many? What if they got sleepy? Could they lie down somewhere? What if their knees started getting sore? Would there be chairs available? The master answered all their questions, assuring them that they would all be taken care of, but they absolutely needed to give everything they had for the entire time, to put their ego and ideas of enlightenment aside and just put forth effort into each minute of their practice. As the assembly of monks was quite large, the master informed them that they were to meet in the great hall to begin Zazen at 9 p.m. sharp. When the bell rang to start the sitting, the master again reminded the monks to give it their all, minute to minute. One monk, not knowing if he had the energy to last the entire night, decided to follow the master's instructions and give it his all for as long as he could. He would concentrate and be present in each round for as long as he could. His desire for understanding was greater than the physical needs of his body. After 5 rounds of sitting, the master stood up and announced the sitting was over. The next morning, as the monks assembled, the master asked them about the sitting last night. The monks immediately said that they thought the sitting was going to be until 3 or 4 in the morning, and so therefore they decided to pace themselves. Some monks even decided to arrive late to the sitting so they would make a better showing at the end and miss the entire Zazen. The monks were all confused and complained it was not fair to say the sitting was going to last some 6 hours and then ended after only 5 rounds. The master, however, reminded them the only condition he required of them was to give it their all. Then, looking out into the assembled crowd of monks, the master, like Shakyamuni, when he transmitted the Dharma to Makashapa, saw one monk sitting quietly, his eyes showing clearly the master's Dharma would live on. It was the monk who gave it his all for as long as he could without expectations. Just a trust in the process. Smiling and nodding, the master announced that he would be happy in death, knowing his Dharma would survive. What does it take to achieve enlightenment? It takes a willingness to give up everything you think you know, everything you want to achieve, and allow your heart to open like a flower. No one knows when enlightenment will happen. No one knows who is worthy of enlightenment. No one knows how many lives you might have lived prior to this life. No one knows how the Dharma wheel will turn. Yet turn it will. Stay true to your practice. Don't give up. When Jun Yan passed on the Dharma to Wang Nang, he passed on his Dharma to a newcomer, an illiterate barbarian from the south. Wang Nang is a supreme example that neither education or no social background has any bearing on the attainment of enlightenment. However, someone who has a mind willing to trust the process without expectation, someone who completely accepts the present condition with all their warts and issues, with all their unpleasant memories for something unknown, someone willing to give it all up for something their heart, not their mind, yearns for. Without understanding why, but willing to ask, willing to receive, This is the person to whom the Dharma is given freely. With all beings, we attain Buddhahood.